Great Scott. It's time for the Geek News with J-Stu and K-Stu.
News team, assemble!
Welcome to the We Got the Geek newsroom for June the 10th with your hosts J-Stu and K-Stu.
Hello.
Hello. Our top stories. Benicio del Toro has joined the cast of the James Gunn-directed Guardians of the Galaxy. Studio is keeping his role a secret, but he's playing a character that is built to be part of the future Marvel films. So maybe in like a Samuel L. Jackson capacity. Del Toro joins Glenn Close, Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Lee Pace, Michael Rooker, and John C. Reilly. People are speculating what his character is. Everything from Thanos, who was the alien that showed in the after-credits scene of the Avengers.
Okay.
To another outer space villain called the Collector.
That just reminds me of comic book guy from...
Yeah, oh, yeah. Right.
He's the Collector.
Oh, no, I've opened it, and it's not in mint condition. another guy was saying the Controller, who's an old Iron Man villain who had dealings with outer space heroes.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we should get an announcement soon who he's playing. And we keep getting these great announcements for these cast members in this movie, and they haven't even announced who's doing the voice of the tree or the talking raccoon yet.
Who is Groot?
Yeah, definitely. This movie is turning out to be big, and that's kind of cool for a franchise no one's that familiar with.
Yeah.
I guess they have to pull all the stops out when they're doing a movie about a talking raccoon.
Because that last movie about the talking duck worked out so well.
Oh.
Yeah, I went there.
Yeah. Well, it's Marvel Studios now, so. Although, if you think about it, that was George Lucas who did Howard the Duck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's scary. Scary that was the first Marvel character that got to be on film. Wow. But I'm looking forward to it. I think they've started filming. James Gunn tweeted a picture of him on the set with a real-life raccoon.
Okay.
They brought raccoons in to, like, I guess study them, get a feeling of how they want to draw them for the animation.
Okay.
They're tame raccoons that have been trained and declawed and whatnot. He's sitting there petting the raccoon.
That just seems weird.
I know, doesn't it? So,
Yeah, but I wanted a skunk as a pet, so... I'm not one to talk.
I wanted a pig.
Can we name it Bacon?
That would be cute. All right, what's next?
Chevy Chase is set to reprise his role as the repairman in the upcoming sequel Hot Tub Time Machine 2. And joining Chase in the film is fellow Community star Gillian Jacobs, who is signed on as, quote-unquote, the female lead.
People are speculating she'll be the girlfriend of Adam Scott, who I guess is the future son of John Cusack.
Yeah. All right.
You know what? I love the first movie. I kind of had my doubts about a second one, but I'll check it out.
I'll check it out for sure.
I mean, it was funny. The first one was hilarious.
Maybe they'll make it a trilogy like The Hangover.
Oh, we know how well the third one did.
Aww.
Still want to see it, though. I shouldn't complain about it. All right, J.J. Abrams, Bad Robot Productions, has secured the rights to The Twilight Zone's Rod Serling's final screenplay. Abrams plans to make an event miniseries from the script entitled The Stops Along the Way. It was the final thing ever written by Rod Serling before his passing back in 1975, so I'm surprised no one's wanted to adapt it. You know it's going to be creepy if it's by the Twilight Zone guy, right?
Yeah. I don't expect a story of lollipops and rainbows from Rod Serling.
Love story. Curious to watch it. J.J. Abrams has had success with TV in the past, of course.
Yeah.
Little show called Lost.
And Alias.
Yeah.
So.
It'd be good to check out.
That'd be neat.
Indeed.
Well, Man of Steel star Henry Cavill has confirmed that he has signed on to The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which will be directed by Guy Ritchie. He'll be replacing Tom Cruise, who recently left the project. He will play the role of Napoleon Solo alongside Armie Hammer.
Okay. So, Superman and the Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
Man from U.N.C.L.E. Cool. I guess we'll find out this weekend what we think of Henry Cable's acting.
When we finally go see Superman.
Yeah, finally. Hasn't been released yet.
I know, but it just seems like it's been, like, forever that we've been talking about this movie.
Yeah, you're right. You're definitely right. All right, and finally from me, in news that should make K-Stu happy.
I like happy news.
So Fables, which is the long-running DC/Vertigo title, it's an acclaimed comic book series. It's being targeted for the big screen.
Finally!
Yeah, I'm hoping I'm not going to butcher this poor guy's name, but Nicolas Arcel, he'll be directing the fantasy adaptation, which will be written by Jeremy Slater, David Heyman, and Jeffrey Clifford. If you can believe this, Kath, Fables first started in 2002.
Yep.
When you got your first trade paperbacks and issues.
Yeah, well, I waited because I didn't buy it immediately. And I waited and got the trade paperback of the first story arc of Animal Farm. So.
So a little backstory for you folks out there. Fables was created by Bill Willingham. Centers on fairy and folktale characters ranging from Snow White and Cinderella to the Big Bad Wolf and Little Boy Blue. They're all kicked out of their world, right? And they're living in modern times and their own community.
Yeah, so as it goes, they were from Fable, or they lived in the Fables, and then they got kicked out of the Fable world and had to live in pretty much New York City. But if they were animal fables, they had to live out on the farm in upstate New York.
Right.
And then they're trying to get back to their actual land.
Okay.
So they have to live among the Mundies, as they call them, the mundane people. And then, like, hide their powers and all of that. But they're, like, in this cute little, like, street on New York City that's all, like, olden times looking, like turn of the century looking.
Right.
And then like, ooh, big bad New York City. So, it's kind of funny. Well, at least that's what it was when I was reading it 75,000 issues ago.
Yeah.
I am
you got
so
a little behind. We'll catch you up in the trade someday.
There was an Arabian Nights, like, spin on it for an arc, and the Animal Farm was about the actual, like, animals living on the farm and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Rose Red, who is Snow White's sister, was like the liaison between that between the humans and the Animal Farm world.
I read some of it. Was there a character named Bigby? He was the big bad wolf.
Yep.
Was he like a detective kind of character?
He was the sheriff.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, and Old King Cole was like running Fable Town. They had, like, a magical spell over it, so if Mundies walked in, they didn't, like, see the magic and stuff like that, and it just seemed like shops and stuff.
Oh, I read some of the issues. I remember we read a pretty cool spinoff about Cinderella a few years ago.
Yep.
Where she was, like, a secret spy.
Yeah, and Beauty and the Beast were in it. Little Jack Horner. Then there was the spinoff Jack of Fables, because you don't realize how many fables had a character named Jack in them.
Right.
Jack and the Candlestick, Jack and the Beanstalk, Little Jack Horner, right. Which turned out to be all the same guy.
Oh, wow.
It was the spin that they had on it. And the fables wouldn't die as long as people were still telling their story. Like, that's where they got their life power from.
Okay.
So as long as parents were still reading the stories to the children, they were fine. So, like, Cinderella and Snow White, and that they were, like, the strongest of the fables. And then there were weaker ones that, like, were losing their powers because the parents weren't telling those stories as much. It's such a cool twist on it, and I got to get back into reading it.
Yeah,
I should go and like.
You left off around issue 75, I want to say, and they're like in the hundreds now.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe at some of the cons we're going to, I'll pick up trade paperbacks.
Yeah, you can get caught up pretty fast if you do the trades. But check this out. This wasn't the first time they've tried to adapt Fables.
No, because I remember you talking about there being a movie version before.
Well, yeah, in 2004, Warner Brothers tried to develop a movie with the Jim Henson Company. But it didn't even get to the writing stage, I guess. And then in late 2008, the comic was going to get the TV treatment. ABC was going to do something with it. That didn't take. And then ABC went on to do their own version, Once Upon a Time, which is, you know, about the Fables land and things like that. And then Grimm's also popped up since then. So yeah. Maybe there's a market for it now.
Maybe.
So that'll be interesting. Okay. Well, that's cool for you.
Yeah, so that is exciting. That
Who would you see playing Bigby?
I don't know. Like, I don't want to go with the Hugh Jackman.
I was going to say that, but that would be kind of typecasting
him as a beast at all times. I don't know. Honestly, because it's been a while since I've read him.
Right.
I love Bill Willingham's artwork in the book. The covers are so intricate, and there's so much going on. I kind of skip over the cover and just got into the story. And then I'd read that issue, then go back at the cover, and the whole story was right there in front of you if you knew what to look for.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, his artwork's amazing. So I would want there to be a magical spell so that his drawings could just come to life.
Hey, we're nice covers. Okay.
That's not an answer, but...
No, that's fine. That's cool.
But yeah, like I said, it's been 1,000 years since I've read one.
Yeah.
So I haven't been in the mindset of casting it while I'm reading it or anything like that.
Okay.
I don't know. No clue.
All right. Well, maybe we'll in the next few weeks, we'll get you to look back at some of your issues and...
Yeah, maybe.
Get an idea.
Yeah. I should go back and reread them, you know, in my spare time.
Yeah.
I don't have time to read my new books.
True that.
I'm rereading my old books.
True that. Okay, I think you have one last story for us.
I do. So Archie Comics announced that Warner Brothers will produce a live-action film based on the comics characters, including Archie, Betty, Veronica, and Jughead. It will be the first feature film for the 72-year-old comic. Directing will be Jason Moore, who helmed the 2012 comedy about a college singing group, Pitch Perfect. Glee writer Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa is penning the script. The Archie comics have previously spawned several animated TV series since the 1960s. And, of course, we all know in 1990, NBC aired the TV film Archie to Riverdale and back again.
Yeah, you don't want to get me or Balmer or Hunter going on that one. First of all, holy, Archie's been around for 72 years.
I know, right?
That's like right around the same time as Superman and Batman starting out. Secondly, I don't want to butcher the guy's name. Roberto, I think he said was his first name.
I think so.
He's a writer for Glee. He's currently writing the Glee and Archie comic book. He's going to write the Archie the Afterlife zombie Archie book.
Oh, man.
But Pitch Perfect. They mentioned someone associated with that movie?
Yeah. Sorry, let me just go back to it for a second. The director... who directed Pitch Perfect will be directing this movie.
And that movie turned out to be decent.
I loved Pitch Perfect. Don't even get me started.
Right. But Archie, though.
Oh.
Who could play Archie? One of the brothers from Desperate Housewives?
Oh.
There was a few years ago, Donnie Most.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. That's scary.
It really is.
Okay, then. Anything's got to be a step up from that god-awful Back to Riverdale TV movie.
Oh, I hope so.
This is the art. Did you watch that when you were younger, right? Do you remember watching it?
I think I did. I can't.
Well, let me just tell you, it was terrible 20 years later rewatching that. It was Archie and the gang grown up coming back for their reunion, and everyone was divorced, and the two girls were still fighting over Archie. Even though he was getting married to somebody else. Reggie was Gary Kroger from the old Saturday Night Live.
Who I had a crush on.
Oh, man. So many bad memories of that. But you know what? It's comic book related. I know I'm going to have to check it out.
I guess.
All right. So there's
what we do for this show.
Yeah. Those are your news items for the week. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the lovely K-Stu will read to you the box office. And I'm pretty sure there's a gigantic surprise in the box office this week.
I only have the top 12. Don't get excited.
Okay. And we also have for you the geek birthdays and the geek calendar. We'll be right back after these words.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
A new spin on the traditional comic book store. Pulp Comics is the place to buy all your new comics, graphic novels, toys, and collectibles. Located at 4559 Queen Street in Niagara Falls, we have over 20,000 back issues, Wi-Fi, arcade, posters, DVDs, MTG, RPG games, board games, complete with 1,400 square feet of gaming tables and vintage arcade downstairs. Pulp Comics cares about you and your comic buying experience. That's why all of our comics are bagged and boarded. Whether you're a pull list subscriber or just shop off the rack. Table rentals are now $5 for a full session of tabletop goodness. Bring your own game or play any of the available house games. Cards, dice, pawns, and pencils. Everything you need for an evening of competitive social interaction, schemes and intrigue, luck, both good and bad included, and an awful lot of fun. At Pulp Comics, we have the fiction for your affliction.
All right, welcome back to this week's We Got the Geek News. It's K-Stu and I.
Mm-hmm. And we are still here.
We are still here. We are getting down to business now with this week's box office. I think I read earlier what number one is, and I couldn't believe it.
Number one, The Purge. $36.4 million.
We didn't even announce that in our upcoming movies for the week last week. The that's the...
Ethan Hawke and right. Lena Headey.
Oh, from Game of Thrones.
A family is held hostage for harboring the target of a murderous syndicate during the Purge, a 12-hour period in which any and all crime is legalized.
Oh, I did hear about that. So it's cool.
I was reading it. It's like 20 years in the future or something like that.
Yeah.
And unemployment's way down and crime is non-existent pretty much because once a year, I read it was for a day, but I guess it's for a 12-hour period, everything is legal.
Like, even murder.
Murder, whatever. So you can get it out of your system, and then the rest of the year, live a nice life. So yeah, my niece saw it.
Okay.
And she had, her Facebook status update was The Purge, and then pretty much WTF. But she, then somebody else commented, I thought we were going to go see that together, and she's like, oh, I'll go see it again. She's like, but I'm going to have nightmares tonight. Awesome.
Wow.
One of the user reviews on IMDb said, if Die Hard and Panic Room had a baby.
Wow. That would be chaos if that was a real thing, man. Can you imagine?
The tagline for it, which is also on the poster, is, reminder, all emergency services will be suspended for a 12-hour period during the Purge.
I would go camping or something that day.
Well, I was reading up on it, I think, in Entertainment Weekly, because I was like, what is this movie? Where did it come out of nowhere? Because I'm not a horror fan.
Right,
so,
neither am I.
But I guess Ethan Hawke in the movie has made his money by selling home security systems in preparation
for the yearly purge.
So he pretty much, like, lives in, like, gated community or whatever and sells security systems to the rich people, like, panic room up your whole house. For that 12-hour period. So I would blockade myself in my house if that were the case.
Yeah, okay. That's cool.
And then there's somebody who's on the run, pretty much, who comes to their door during the Purge asking for asylum, pretty much, a black guy. And so I guess there's, like, tones of racism and classism and stuff like that in the movie. I'm like actually kind of interested to see it.
It seems interesting.
But it'll be once I can watch it at home with all of the lights on in the middle of the day type thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was number one this week.
How much was that again?
36.4 million.
Okay.
Number two was the Fast and Furious 6.
Wow, still up there.
Made 19.8 million this week. It grossed 202.9 million so far domestically.
That's scary.
Number three, Now You See Me, at 19.5 million this week. Number four, The Internship. Oh, Vince Vaughn.
Oh, that's not good. That just came out.
18.1 million. It debuted at number four.
Oh, dude.
So Vince Vaughn and
Owen Wilson. Owen Wilson. Same They should have just done Wedding Crashers too.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, yeah. Epic in at number 5. Star Trek in Darkness at number 6.
Okay.
After Earth at number 7. The Hangover Part 3 at number 8. Iron Man 3 at number 9. Made $5.8 million this week.
Okay.
The Great Gatsby at number 10. Mud at number 11. The one with not Tubbs from
Vice. Yes.
That's what the poster looks like to me. And at number 12, Yay Jawani Hai Diwani, the Bollywood flick. It made $870,000. So far, it's grossed $2.9 million.
After Earth, though. That movie cost like $137 million to make. I think it's
It's made $46.6
million. Wow.
Well, domestically, at least.
So because of that, Will Smith is now talking about how he'll never do another big budget blockbuster. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is that not about 95% of his career?
Yeah.
Like, if you take away the blockbusters, I think you have Ali. Ali. And this is the same guy that turned down Django Unchained because he felt like Django wasn't the main character and wasn't a big enough role for him to do this one.
Yep.
Good choice, man.
Nice work.
That's it for the box office? Oh, it's time for this week's Geek Birthdays. Today, celebrating a birthday, DJ Quails. You might know him as the Atari Kid from Road Trip. Tomorrow, we have Shia.
He was also in Lost. He was Hurley's friend when Hurley still worked at the chicken place.
All right. Okay. Tomorrow, on June 11th, we have Shia LaBeouf from the Transformers. Maybe he'll be screaming Optimus. Who knows? Also, one of your favorites, Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
Uncle Drunk. What was his name?
Drunk Uncle and
Peter Drunklage. Right. And someone who's still looking real good in her 60s, Adrienne Barbeau.
Nice.
I guess there's some real hot poster of her in a purple nightgown I should check out from the 70s.
Okay.
All right. She was in Swamp Thing. She was in Escape from New York. She's got sci-fi cred. Wednesday, June 12th, we have former interviewee from us, Scott Thompson, also from the Kids in the Hall, and Jason Mewes from all the Kevin Smith movies. On Thursday, June 13th, it is Captain America himself, Chris Evans, and Kick-Ass himself, Aaron Taylor Johnson, keeping with the superhero film stars Kat Dennings from Thor and her cast member Stellan Skarsgård also, and Malcolm McDowell, who has been in a billion things. He killed Captain Kirk in Star Trek Generations.
Is he the boss on?
Yes, Franklin and Bash is boss. Okay. Yeah. Used to be married to, drawing a blank, who was Doc? Mary Steenburgen, the one Richard Dean Anderson loves. June 14th, on Friday, we have Yasmin Bleeth. Run, Yasmin, run, as Chandler would say. She was on Nash Bridges, right?
Yeah.
And Baywatch. Also, Will Patton. You might know him as he's been in everything. He's Colonel Weaver on Falling Skies. He was in Armageddon. He was in 24. He was one of the bad guys in The Punisher. He's been in everything. Gone in 60 Seconds. Eddie Mecca. Do you know who that is, K-Stu?
That's the Big Ragu, isn't it?
Yeah, he'll never go from rags to riches, that guy.
Yep.
Big Ragu. Saturday, June 15th, we have someone from my personal list, Leah Remini from The King of the Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And Courtney Cox.
Nice.
From Cougar Town.
Hot birthday day.
Hot birthday day. And on Sunday, June 16th, we have Missy Peregrine, who is currently on Rookie Blue. Don't you laugh at me.
Oh, I laugh anyway.
She was also in Heroes and Reaper. And John Cho. Harold. Also Mr. Sulu in Star Trek, and he was one of the MILF boys in American Pie. Yeah. Last scene in Go On, the Chandler Show.
Yep.
All right. How about we take a break, and when we come back, we are going to have this week's Geek Calendar for you, as read by the lovely K-Stu. And we'll be right back after these words.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Kristen Hunter is a Canadian artist specializing in polymer clay creations. Kristen is a geek at heart, and most of her creations are nerd-themed. She makes everything from Captain America earrings to video game-inspired necklaces and everything else in between. Check out Kristen's amazing work at www.wasabeads.com or visit her Facebook group, Wasabeads Custom Creations.
All right, welcome back to the show, and let's get into this week's Geek Calendar, where we tell you all the best stuff to read, watch, and buy.
Bye. Oh, no.
So, Case 2, if you will start.
Well, Tuesday, June 11th is new DVD day. So new on DVD, Oz the Great and Powerful. Yes, I can finally see it. Also, Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunter. Yes, I can see that one, too. Transformer Rescue Bots Volume 2.
Cricket.
Power Rangers Samurai Season 2 Volume 4. Doctor Who, The Doctors Revisited 1 through 4. It showcases the first four Doctors and a profile for each, and a classic episode for each.
I guess they're going to be doing that for all the Doctors.
So just a little starter, if you will, on the older Doctors.
And in honor of the 50th anniversary as well.
Oh my gosh. So into Doctor Who now. I know I'm late on this boat, but...
It only took you 49 years. No, you were watching it when you were a kid.
I did watch it when I was a kid. I wasn't a Whovian, if you will.
Nice.
I did have, because Tom Baker, and I know I've mentioned it a thousand times, Tom Baker was my doctor. So my mom made me a huge long scarf. It wasn't the Tom Baker colors, though. It was like pink and gray and white, and she made it all girly for me. But anyway, I don't know whatever happened to that scarf. I want to make myself a Tom Baker scarf now.
You need the hat and the coat, too.
I just need the scarf. I'm good. In theaters, on June 12th, so Wednesday, new release for a movie, This is the End.
Can't wait.
Oh, my God.
It's getting such good reviews, too, if you can believe it. Something Seth Rogen wrote is getting good reviews.
I want to say it was a B+ in Entertainment Weekly.
I think it was an A, even.
Okay. I know it was a good score for an Entertainment Weekly movie.
Yeah.
Like they're good reviewers, but they're harsh. Like they'll tell you if it's crap, and it got a pretty good score.
People are saying this is the comedy hit of the year.
Nice.
It's an interesting idea. They're playing a-hole versions of themselves during an apocalypse.
I can't wait to see Hermione.
Yeah.
Emma Watson like kicking some ass is going to be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I can't wait.
So, since we won't be seeing it Wednesday, there's new comic books out. We'll be doing that.
Yes, there is.
So, what do we have coming out this week?
All right, I'm glad you asked, Case 2. So, we have Batman 21, which is going to kick off the big origin story of Batman in the New 52, called Batman Year Zero. We also have Walking Dead issue 111, Uncanny X-Force 6. Deadpool 11, which might be a good thing for both of us. I started collecting it this weekend.
Yep.
Wolverine and the X-Men 31. Guardians of the Galaxy 3. It was delayed a couple times, but it's out. Got a big picture of Rocket Raccoon doing the Come Fight Me look on the cover. Nightwing 21. Wolverine number 4. Oh, Avenging Spider-Man 22, where the Punisher teams up with Doc Ock Spider-Man. All right, Star Wars Issue 6, the big Dark Horse series that I've been raving about, which tells the tale of the characters between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. And probably what's going to be the big release of the week, Superman Unchained number 1 by Scott Snyder, who's currently the author of Batman, and superstar talent Jim Lee doing the art. That's out just in time for the movie, which is coming out soon as well. Case 2?
Superboy number 21, Astonishing X-Men number 63, Constantine number 4, Venom number 36, World's Finest number 13, Ultimate Comics X-Men number 27, Savage Wolverine number 6, My Little Pony Friendship is Magic number 8.
Wow, is that 8 already?
Yep. Doctor Who number 10. G.I. Joe number 5, Jennifer Blood number 28. I don't know.
don't know what that is, but it seems creepy. We also have Masters of the Universe, The Origin of Hordak, number 1. Smallville, season 11, number 14. Reunited with Supergirl, Laura Vandervoort, if you will. Alpha Big Time, number 5. The greatest superhero story ever told comes to a startling conclusion. Greatest, huh? That's selling yourself. Batman Little Gotham, number 3. Bravest Warriors, number 9. Ghostbusters 5. The original Ghostbusters are back in Manhattan. I don't know why they weren't in Manhattan, but I guess we'll find out. Star Trek 22. This one is the series that immediately takes place after the movie that came out this summer.
Okay.
That's kind of interesting. Wild Blue Yonder, number 1, I guess?
Clearly.
X, number 2, which actually has nothing to do with the X-Men. And let me just move it to the next page for the lovely case, too.
Archie and Friends, number 28.
And what friends he has, huh?
Dungeons and Dragons, Cutter, number 3. Grimm, number 2.
Oh, wow.
Might want to check that one out. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah.
Marvel Universe Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes, number 15. Popeye Classics, number 11.
Woohoo!
Sherlock Holmes, The Liverpool Demon, number 5. The Crow
I think it's Curare. That's some sort of a poison. Maybe?
All right. Number 1. Transformers, Prime Beast Human, Prime Beast Hunters, number 2.
All right, and as we pull up the final page of comic releases, we have True Blood, number 14, just in time for the show coming back, and Transformers Regeneration 1, number 92. So that's this week's comics for you, folks. So visit all your lovely comic book stores on Wednesday, give them your support, and open up your hearts and wallets.
There you go. Friday, in theaters, I don't know if we're going to go. Superman, Man of Steel? No, it's not Superman. It's just Man of Steel.
I'm wondering. They haven't confirmed that they even call him Superman in this movie. And from what I'm reading, we may not even see the traditional Clark Kent in the glasses in this movie either.
Lame.
Get hobo Superman. That's good.
Lame.
You may be changing your tune after we see it.
Maybe.
You love Russell Crowe.
No, I don't.
I'm kidding.
No,
love you.
No, I don't. Nope. I do love Kevin Costner.
I think it'll be okay.
I don't think there's going to be enough Kevin Costner in this movie.
As much as I want to see it, what concerns me, I'm not a big Zack Snyder fan. Like, we watched Sucker Punch. We watched Watchmen.
Yeah.
Every one of his movies has these long, slow-motion fighting scenes, which I'm hoping we're not going to see in this movie.
All I know is I'm going to bring a book.
Oh.
A la when we went to go see episode 1, and I sat there and I read The Hunger Games on my phone.
She did. She did, folks.
I'll do it again. It was very dim. I left it. I kept it low. Okay. It wasn't disturbing anybody. It was Star Wars. Saturday, June 15th. Actually, Friday and Saturday. Heirlooms is a show in Welland, a collection of over 80 artisans featuring handcrafted jewelry, pottery, acrylic painting, felting, knitting, and so much more. There's going to be a kids crafting area, gourmet food surrounded by the serene garden setting. It's sponsored by Etsy. I'm sorry I don't have any more details on it. I know it starts at 10 a.m. on Friday, June 14th, and it ends at 6 p.m. on Saturday the 15th, but I'm not sure of close times and open times Friday and Saturday. But Nerd Biscuit will be there. We've interviewed her before.
Yep.
So go get yourself a mustache or some kitty toys.
Or pins.
Or some pins. Some flair, if you will. Pocket mirrors, bottle openers, all that stuff.
Their stuff's fantastic. And I bet you there'll be other crafters there that are just as good.
I still haven't grabbed a tote bag from her. My tote bags.
This might be the time to do it.
I don't know. I just bought one yesterday from Sparkle Girly. So, Sparkle Girl, maybe. So, I don't know. But anyway, so that's going on Friday and Saturday. And then Sunday, June 16th, True Blood's coming back. I don't know if I'm going to be watching it this season. I might wait till the season's done.
Wait till the whole thing.
And then catch up. Also, the Buffalo Power Con, the Fantastic Father's Day edition. It's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 1340 Miller's Port Highway, which is the Marriott, in Amherst, New York.
Now, we don't have a lot of information about this, but it's being run by the same people that run the usual Buffalo Con, so I'm sure it'll be decent.
Yeah, it'll be a good time.
Looking forward to it.
They usually have a billion and one comic book vendors.
Oh, great deals,
so it's a good
always.
Time to catch up on your back issues.
Fantastic deals at this show every time. So that's going to wrap up the show. On a personal note, I want to say thank you for all the support we had this last weekend at Niagara Falls Comic Con. And it was great seeing everybody.
For
and,
sure.
And a big thank you to Paul Tappe for all the hard work he did putting this thing together.
You
man.
Rock, sir.
Definitely rock. And, I mean, it was good seeing our old friends, John and Ryan and Christopher Yao. And people recognized us now from past events, which was great. We reconnected with old friends like Rob Consoni, who runs Rebel Shot Studio, and Steph from the GCE. And we'll be running those interviews all throughout the week because it's pretty much con week here on We Got the Geek.
Yeah. I'm still winding down from the con. I'm still on a con high. Not going to lie.
No, I'm in a great mood, and I hope this great mood never lasts. Unfortunately.
Never ends, you mean?
Or never ends, sorry. Unfortunately, I'm back at the day job tomorrow, so... Good mood. I hope you stick around.
Good move. Good mood. Waning.
Fading.
There you go.
Fading.
That's the word I was looking for.
Anyhow, like, I just want to thank everyone that helped us out this weekend and had a great time. And I can't wait for the next one now. We're already on to the next one.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you next time here on We Got the Geek.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.